Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. Man, I'm out here getting my butt kicked. I'm hunting a buck and I can't freaking find him. I thought I was going to kill him pretty easy. I could find him almost every time preseason scouting, but I don't know. So it's good to hear from people who have had success. Orlin here just killed a buck not even a week ago, and to hear his story kind of motivated me again to get back out there. So I hope it does the same to you guys. It's a pretty cool story and a really cool deer. But before we start, I just want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. If you guys support these sponsors, it really helps. It goes a long ways and it helps us be able to put out more episodes more frequently. I just wanted to give a shout out to Hunter over at Rider Industries. He stopped by my house the other day and showed me the new bipod they just put out. And let me tell you, it's one of the coolest bipods, the coolest bipod I've ever seen. My favorite part about it is once you have it set on the ground, there's a lever on the side and you can actually move it left and right, whereas other bipods, you'd have to pick up the whole gun and set it again. I think that's a really cool idea, and it really sold me on that bipod. Another sponsor I want to give a shout out to real quick is Art of the Hunt. That's Art of the H-N-T is how they spell it. They're doing some really cool stuff. I sent a few pictures of my strip buck to him, and then what he does is he creates a design or a logo out of it, and it's actually the logo on the Instagram and the podcast now that he designed. So you send your buck or your bowl or whatever into him, and then he designs a logo for you, and then he can put it on hats and shirts and phone cases, all sorts of things. And actually right now they're running a promo. If you order a piece of apparel or headwear from them and use the code LAUNCH2024, that's one word, LAUNCH2024, at checkout, you're also going to get a free custom phone case with your logo on it. So it's pretty cool what they're doing. Just kind of like another way to preserve your memories of your buck or your bull. And that's Art of the H-N-T, Art of the Hunt. So go ahead and check them out. But for now, let's go ahead and get right into our episode.
All right, guys. Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. We got a really recent buck that just went down, one of the coolest bucks I've seen get killed this year. I cannot wait to hear this story. Orlin Finn, he's on, so thanks for getting on, Orlin.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me. It's kind of weird now saying that I'm on the podcast because I listen to it more than, you know, somebody should, but...
Well, I appreciate you listening. I cannot wait to hear this story.
Yeah, man, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. I always say like I got lucky. So I named this buck Lucky, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I actually drew the turnback tag. So I, you know, every year since I was like a little kid, I'd put in for the Henry's Archery deer tag. My grandpa drew this tag back. Way back in, I think it was 2009, and I was 8 years old, and I was able to go on the hunt with him. So he drew the rifle tag, and he shot, I think it was a 210 or 212 buck opening morning.
So that was like the peak of the Henry Mountains, wasn't it? Like right around then.
Oh yeah, dude. Like there was so many big bucks, and I mean it was opening morning, and he was clear on the other side of the mountain, and my dad radioed him, and he's like, hey, you better get over here and look at this deer. And I'm 8 years old, so I don't even realize what's happening, you know, like, they're all,
right,
you know, anxious,
right.
And so anyways, all I remember was my grandpa just flying up the hill on a four-wheeler, and just running up the hill, looking in the spotting scope, and goes, yeah, that's a shooter for sure. And so he throws his gun up on a cedar tree, and within, I don't even know, 2 minutes, a minute, smokes this buck. And,
no,
you know, at 8 years old, seeing a 212, 215 inch deer, you're just like, holy cow, this is awesome, you know?
So, yeah.
I had seen that, and I've always, since day one, wanted to draw this tag. So I was kind of banking on it, and I always told myself, like, the only way you're really going to, like, you know, hunt a limited entry hunt is archery. Like, you got to fine-tune this craft and be good at it so that one day, you know, it pays off. So that's kind of where it started. But my dad, too, he's killed some giant bucks in different states, and he's kind of just, you know, another icon. And so many people that are good friends that hunt and are good people, you know. So that's kind of where it started. But
so you've been around big buck killers since you've been a little kid.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, really, really awesome, sweet deer, and just seeing what a big buck looks like. And you know, I've shot a handful of, you know, okay deer, but never had the opportunity to chase something that, you know, is once in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I drew the turn back tag. So I'm at work, and I'm working away, you know, like, the year's been pretty dull for me, and I just sitting there grinding at work, and all of a sudden my dad calls me. He's like, "Hey bro, do you want to," and it was kind of spotty, the service wasn't great. He's like, "Hey, do you want to go hunt Henry's?" And I go, "Yeah, let's go. Like, who got a tag?" And blah, blah, blah. And it kind of cut out. And then he was like, "Yeah, dude, it's an archery." Yeah. It cut out, of course. And he's like, "Yeah, dude, it's an archery tag." Like, and I could just tell he was pumped. I'm like, "Dude, you drew the archery tag? Like, that's so cool." And then he's like, no, you drew the archery tag." I go, "What?" And he's like, "You need to call."
No way.
He's like, "You need to call them by 5 p.m. today." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, my heart just sunk, and you know, like, you get the news and somebody tells you that, and I just started jumping for joy. Everyone at work was like, "What is this dummy doing?" You know?
And yeah.
I don't know. I just was jumping for joy. So.
So,
found that out.
When Like, when did you find out you were the alternate?
So it was a Friday, 2 weeks before the hunt.
No way. So that's even more pressure. Like,
dude, I mean, I had zero scouting. I didn't even know. I asked my dad. I was like, "Hey, have you heard anything about the unit? Like, is there any good bucks right now?" And I was like, "You know what? Should I even go for it, or should I wait?" And he's like, "Dude, are you kidding me? Like, you have this opportunity to go and, you know, shoot just a, you know, a good buck too." And so I was like, "Yeah, I'm going for it. I don't even care. Like, I'm just going to send it." And so then, I had to okay it with the miss. And so I'm talking to her like, "Hey, this is once in a lifetime. Like, you don't understand the how crazy this is." And I think I did the odds of, like, getting a turn back tag is like 1 in 3 million or something like that. Like, it's
so
pretty crazy. So just the significance of that, and just my wife was so willing to let me go. And we have a 9-month-old baby, and she's like, "You know what, if you really want to do this, like, you can go for it, but you owe me," kind of a thing. So, but
yeah.
So that Friday, I got a hold of the DNR office, and I called and called and called, and the guy was off work. So I'm like freaking out, and
what?
I sent him 2 or 3 emails. I'm like, "Dude, come on, let's just get me the tag. I want to make this real." And
stressing
over that. And so, anyways, then I get a hold of him finally, and it comes through, and it's legit. And in the meantime, I'm like packing my truck full of my stuff, and I'm heading down. Like,
get some scouting in.
Oh, dude. So I pack up my truck, and my really good cousin, Lincoln Marchbanks, shout out, he came down with me, like, spur the notice, and he was freaking out too. All my buddies were. But so we bombed down there, and it's like a 5-hour drive to where I wanted to be, and a lot of people helped me, like a lot of friends pointing me in, you know, kind of a direction, because I mean, I hunted it when I was 8 years old. I don't know anything about the unit, like, you know. So, and a lot of people had a lot of time spent down there ahead of me, you know, guides, outfitters, and people with multi-seasons and stuff like that. So I was pretty nervous, not going to lie. Like,
I bet. Pressure, I can't even imagine.
Pressure set in pretty dang quick. Oh, but so I get down there, and We went on this one road, and I had glassed up on this really, really tall peak, and I just seen like two or three bucks come up over the skyline, and then they turned back around and went back over, and I couldn't even tell what they were, so far away. And so we went on this nasty, nasty road, and I'm like rock crawling in my Tacoma, and I was like not happy with that, and ripped a mirror off. If you ever go on the Henrys, dude, you got to take two of everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, you basically need two trucks.
Yeah.
But so anyways, yeah, I get the tag. I go down and scout. I see some awesome bucks. Like, I couldn't even, I was just like, is this even real? Like, this is what a limited entry unit is. Like, there are so many nice deer, and I'm used to hunting like these, you know, general season stuff. And there's no joke, like some really nice bucks on general season, but dude, like I came around a corner and this buck was right off the road. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be pretty tempting opening day.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of gave myself like a goal, and I was like, you know what? It's been your goal your whole life. Like everybody, I mean, you talk to anyone, it's a goal for them, at least, you know, crazy serious hunters. It's a goal to shoot a 200 inch buck. Like, I feel like you talk to anyone, it's like, yeah, I would love to do that. And so
for sure,
I always talk about that with my buddies, like how cool would it be? And so, you know, here I am seeing these bucks, and a few of them, I was like, yeah, I'd definitely shoot him. And, you know, so I see this buck, and this is the buck I end up killing. And I go, yeah, that's a sweet deer. He's got, you know, crazy nasty eye guards. He's got, you know, five on one side, and he's got six on the other. And I'm like, yeah, definitely a shooter. And I was like, you'd be crazy not to. And, but then I was like, he's only 190, you know, he's only 190s. Cause he didn't have great, you know, I don't know. I saw him from a distance, and I was just like, I'll keep my options open. And I had saw some really, really nice typicals, and I just was, you know, zoned in. So anyways, then I went back down with my grandpa and scouted again and saw some sweet bucks, and I saw more and more people. And that was kind of stressful, of, you know, seeing all these guides and seeing all these fancy rigs driving around. And here I am, you know, driving around in an old Razor, and I mean, I was just lucky to be down there, really. So,
yeah.
Anyways, I got into an area, and opening day, I just invited, you know, whoever wanted to come. I said, you're welcome to come help and scout and glass and stuff like that. And I think the outfitters were a little bit timid, because I had probably 5 to 6 trucks in the parking lot, and there was a good group of people, and hardcore hunters, dude. Like, these are all family, you know, family, cousins, friends, and uncles and really good friends. And they all are hardcore hunters. And I think we gave them a run for our money, but people are like, how many people you got in this camp? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot.
So at this point, are you like dialed in on that deer, or are you still kind of looking around?
So yeah, I was like, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go for him. You know, I was like, he's the coolest looking deer I've seen. I'm gonna go for him and try, you know, for the first, you know, like bit of the season, and then if I have to,
right,
go into September and try to hunt him and see him hard horned. And I had a goal of, I was going to stay there however long it took. And
yeah,
I didn't care, you know, who was down there. I didn't care who, you know, some great, you know, name hunter is down there hunting, or I didn't care who was there. It was just me, myself, and I'm going to go in and do this. It's kind of just a goal that I've always had. So I'm just like, you got to go balls to the walls and do it, you know? And so opening morning, opening the night before, we saw some sweet bucks, and I, you know, the jitters, everybody gets the jitters opening day, and I'm just thinking of what's going to happen. And so I have this deer, I mean, nobody's really watching him. Like, I have this deer pretty much to himself. And so I'm like, all right, opening morning, we're going to come up here and I'm going to put a play on him. And so opening morning comes around, I fly up this ridge and boom, there's like a razor and a truck and a four-wheeler and people are watching these bucks. And from where I was, oh. I could glass probably 180 degrees from camp. And so I could see a fair bit of country and see these bucks. Yeah. And then I thought, oh, I'll just buzz up the road a ways and then hike from there and get up into this area. And lo and behold, I mean, outfitters and people were there. And I was kind of like, oh, shoot, you know, pull up. But I was like, anyway, so I start talking, really, really cool people, you know, like salt of the earth guys, super nice. They're like, dude, if you want to go up there, like, go up there. And I was like, dude, I'm down. I am going up there. Like, what are you guys going to do? And so they're like, well, we're going to probably go over here to where we've watched them go into. And, you know, and so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go up this side then and just hopefully stay on the ridge and I won't drop in on them and I'll just kind of wait for you guys or whatever. And so it was pretty cool. Like, they were super nice. And yeah. I sneak up on the ridge and I had my buddy with me, Trey Richardson, and we get up in there, sneak up in there, and I'm like, we got to play the wind. We got to get the wind right. So we got the wind right, and all of a sudden, I just see racks, dude, just bobbing in the grass, like, coming towards us. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
No way.
This bachelor herd is coming at us. I'm like, get down, get down. So we, like, drop down, get in these bushes. I'm pretty much laying face first in this bush, and I just kind of slowly peek up and look, and this tiny little two-point, like, is staring us down. I'm like, we're pegged. Like, this is over. You know, like, any general season unit, these deer are gone. But these deer, they're a little bit more forgiving, I feel like, until the hunt starts rolling around and people start boogering them off. But so I see these bucks, and sure enough, they come filtering through. And I'm set up. There's a pine tree to my left and, you know, kind of a steeper angle up. And they come right through the saddle, right in front of us. Like, I'm ranging these bucks. I'm ranging, two of them came in, like, my shooting lane, and I range them at 58 and a half yards. And these are no sleeper bucks. These are some sweet deer, like 180, 170 class deer. And I go, holy cow, I'm going to get a shot at the big buck. And so I'd seen the big buck, and I am literally shaking. Like, I had never shaked so hard in my life. My knees were buckling, and I look over to my buddy, and I go, I'm going to get a shot. And he's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, it's the big buck. And he's like, no way. You know, like, so I'm ranging. I'm like, they're all 58 and a half yards. So I'm like, perfect. I'm going to put my 60-yard pin right on his heart, and I'm going to torch this deer. So I draw back, and he steps into the zone, and he's just walking straight. And I get to full draw, and I'm getting everything settled, getting my bubble level. I'm getting everything perfect, focusing on my elbow, like, doing all the things. And he looks straight at me. This buck just turns his head and his rack. And that's when I was like, holy cow, this is a giant deer.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, dude, this is your moment. This, everyone is watching. Everyone is here. The pressure's on. You have to execute and make a perfect shot. And so I put my 60 pin right on his heart, I mean, right in the pocket, and I just pulled, back tension, you know, and boom, the shot broke, and it looked money, uh-huh. dude, like perfect. And this deer has nine lives. It ducked a good 8 to 9 inches. Like, I have
no
video
way.
My brother's videoing from camp, and then, you know, the outfitters that are watching their video on the deer, and he drops, and that arrow literally gave him a cut, like a haircut.
No way. That is crazy.
So I'm sick. I go, oh, dude, I missed him. Like, crap, you know, and they go ripping out of there. All the bucks just, like, rip off. And some of them kind of were, like, out of there quicker than others, and others were just standing there like, what the heck just happened, you know? And yeah. I shoot like a fairly, you know, lighter, right in the middle of light and heavy arrow, 460 grains, 80 pounds. Like, it's zipping in there, you know, almost 300 feet per second. So, I mean, for him to duck that, I just was amazed. And kind of just
that's crazy.
Sick. Yeah, I'm sick. Yeah. My stomach. Like, I just blew it. And so I was pretty dang – well, I wasn't terribly mad. I was just more of like, holy crap, I just shot at a giant buck, you know. Like, I was just happy I got an opportunity, you know. And so anyways, it kind of got under my skin. I was like, this deer is going to die. Like, I need to get him now. And that in that moment, hiking down, you know, after they blew out and, you know, sitting there in the sun, and I'm like, dude, this is going to be tough. And I told myself, like, just keep your head up, keep going, and it'll be all right. And so anyways, I get back to camp and we kind of regroup. And so anyways, the hunt kind of goes on, and other people were chasing this buck. And the next day some weather rolled in and it was terrible, like stormy, rainy. And I snuck in on this buck. It was actually sweet. I got up, we watched him just midday. We couldn't find him in the morning the next day. And they come barreling out of these pines up above us, up in the very top of the mountain. And they come barreling out of these pines midday. Like, I mean, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they're running around. And I'm like, somebody had to have bumped them. But they just came down and they started feeding in this oak and got in some pines. And I made a stalk. I stalked into 60 yards. I mean, I had them dead nuts, man. Like, but there was no shot. It was just too thick. And I would have had to like thread my arrow through a softball size shot, you know, at 60 yards. And I just the arc of the arrow, you know, like it just would have smoked a branch and it would have been over. So I didn't shoot, and they kind of just got up and walked off. And so I think it was 9 or 10 different stalks on this buck. And then I stalked one other giant typical, and then one like really, really sweet typical, but he had like a little bit smaller backs. I called him Stubbs. But anyways, I stalked those other two deer when I was getting depressed because I couldn't find this big buck.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the hunt was, I mean, awesome. Like, no doubt about it. Like, I had a lot of fun, but there were times that, I kid you not, I was so sick of being there. I had a like torrential monsoon downpour on me in the middle of a stalk. Like, I thought I was going to die. I had lightning and thunder, no joke. I mean, I thought it was just instant crack of thunder and light, and
no,
it was scary.
Way.
I've been in the high country of Colorado, Wyoming, everything, you know, and I've been in storms and in Utah, and but dude, this scared me. I pull out my phone. I'm like, dude, if I die right now, and I'm sorry, you know, kind of doing my last whatever.
Yeah.
I'm hunkered down in a cedar tree, and I am getting smoked by almost the size of a golf ball hail just coming down. And I pull out my phone and video on it, and I actually had a buck. They were running. All the deer were running around like their heads were cut off. And, dude, this buck comes like a nice 4-point, comes rolling through the cedars where I'm at. I'm like, holy crap, you know, like, yeah, anyway. So that happened, and I got absolutely soaked, like, to the bone. And so I go back to camp, and I was actually stalking this deer, Lucky. And I got soaked, and then I came back to camp, and I was like, dude, I've got to get dry. And I put my spotting scope up. I'm soaking wet. I put my spotting scope up, and I get him in my scope. The storm had rolled out. I mean, my camp is to smithereens. And
yeah,
I get my spotter up. I'm like, dude, he's just sitting up on the hill, like right across from the camp. I'm like, he's just chilling over there. And so anyways, I get my truck started, and I get all my gear in there and get out the heaters on, and I'm just sitting there watching this buck soaking wet, and he's just feeding. Almost mocking me.
Yeah.
And it's mind games, dude. It's mind games. Big bucks are mind games, because you think, well, I'm never going to get another shot. I'm never going to, you know. And then the other thing I thought of was, you've got to put in more effort. You've got to put in more hard work. You've got to hike every single day. Don't take a day off. Get up into those hidey holes, you know? And so that just kind of kept me pushing. And I was like, it's just a matter of time. You've gotten close. So I just kept at it. And so another stock that I remember is I got in on him. I had him bedded, and I was probably 200 yards up above the hill. And all of a sudden, I had my dad spotting for me, and he was watching him. And all of a sudden, the buck just, like, stands up. He's with a bachelor herd of probably 30 bucks. And stands up, shakes his head.
That's hard.
Shakes his head like a... Yeah, I mean, that's 60 eyeballs watching you stalk him.
Yeah.
But he sits there and starts shaking his head like he's a rock star. Like, just crazy. And then all of a sudden, mule kicks and runs down the hill. And my dad's like, it was the strangest thing. This is midday. And he did that three times. He wouldn't stay put in an area for longer than an hour at most. Like, we were just watching him, and he'd just do the weirdest stuff. And, I mean, some of the outfitters and people I'd talk to, they're like, yeah, dude, he's the weirdest and smartest deer that we've, you know, seen out here. And that gave me some mind games, too. I'm like, dude, this buck is something else. This guy's got a sixth sense, and he knows what I smell like, you know. Anyways, I got in within 70 yards that time, and he just stood up, shook his head, did the same thing, ran up, and rebedded. Weirdest thing. But I kind of had to regroup, went back to town, got some stuff. My dad and my cousins, they all came down and spent some time with me, and I was driving back up the mountain, and I hear this, like, rattling noise in my front left tire. And I go, crap, like, what the heck? And I turn my tire and I go in there, and my CV boot is completely full of just parts. Like, my CV is just toast, gone. So no four-wheel drive. It's literally monsoon weather, and I'm, like, not even close to camp. And I'm like, I've just got to hobble this thing to camp. So I'm like, I'm going in, and I'm not turning around, going back to Hanksville or, you know, wherever to get this fixed.
Yeah.
And so I call, I get service. Service is terrible up there. I get service. I call my dad. I'm like, hey, I'm going to need I don't know what I need. I might need a hub. I might need a CV. I might need new brakes. Like, I might need new everything. So I'm like, dude, just order it all. I need all the tools you've got. And I called my cousin. I'm like, dude, you need to get up here. He was planning on coming up. And so they came up, but the storm rolled through and washed this road out. They couldn't get in till, I think it was Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, around noon. And
So this is
more added pressure of, you know, I've got to get my truck fixed so I can actually get off the mountain. And I'm trying to kill this monster buck. So anyways, they're like, we'll fix it tomorrow. Like, let's get on this buck. And so the next morning we find him, and I stalk in within, I think I was 77 yards, and I was about to draw back, and he's frontal. And he got up out of his bed, and he came up towards me and stopped, and I ranged him 77 yards, and I dialed my sight, and I'm about ready to draw back, and he just kind of, like, lifts his head up in the air, and I swear he has the nose of a hound. He stands up, the wind's great, coming straight in my face, and he looks around, and then he kind of just, like, turns and walks straight into the oak, and then he's gone.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in these quakies, dude, like thick quakies, and they can't see me. I have probably six bucks within 40 yards all around me, and out of all of them, he stands up and he just walks the opposite way. So I'm like,
that's
this
crazy.
Is impossible. Impossible.
Right.
And so anyways, that night I just was pretty depressed. Like, that was Sunday morning, and I was pretty dang depressed Sunday, and I was just thinking, like, you know what, like, I don't know. I'm a pretty big believer in God, and I was like, you know, God, like, can you just help me out? Like, you know my desires. Like, I want to kill a giant buck, you know, like, and it's kind of weird to say and cheesy, and it's like, but I was just confident that he'd help me out. And so
yeah.
I was just, every time I would go hike, you know, start my hike, I'd just pray out loud while I'm hiking. And I was just like, come on, like, just give me an opportunity. Give me something to you know, mess around with. Give me something to work with, you know. And some mornings we wouldn't glass this buck up. Some evenings we wouldn't. People would be flying around chasing him. And so I kind of got in my head a little bit because I had missed him. And I was like, I have to shoot closer than 80 yards. I can't risk it again, you know. So yeah. I'm in my head. I'm trying to, like, you know, pull from higher power and pull from other people. And I'm so glad that I had so many people, like, supporting me and, you know, telling me that I can do it. And my brother was like, dude, just get in there and your first thoughts, man. Just use your instincts. Get in there. Use your first thoughts. And him and my cousin were just kind of coaching me up. And so I was like, all right, I can do it. I can do it. And so they left. They had to leave Sunday. So here I am. And I talked one of my buddies in staying with me, Tyler Gould. And so anyways, I talked him into staying. He's like, all right, fine. I'll stay with you. Cause I was going to be solo.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. So anyways, what was it? Monday. So Monday morning we get up to the glassing knob and of course there's people there. And I'm like, let's just drive me up as far as you can, and I'm going to get out and hike. Like, we couldn't find the buck that morning from camp, and so I was like, I'm just going to get up in there and hike around. And so I went on a death march, dude. Like, I don't know if you've ever just got angry and just started hiking because you were just frustrated, but
yeah.
I just blew up that hill. Like, I just flew up that hill. And I get up on this top ridge, and I'm looking around, and I see, like, this little dinky four-point, and I'm like, this is terrible. And then I get a radio from my dad. He's like, dude, we found a stud 4-point, you know, like, you need to get over here. So I get over there, and I'm so glad I didn't shoot that deer, dude. I was so close to shooting that deer. And I just thought, you know what? I came here for a reason. I came here to shoot, you know, the biggest buck I can. And I've got time, and I know time's running out, but I've got time. And so that night we are buzzing around, and I look up on where my dad stops the razor, and he goes with his naked eye, he goes, dude, that's a giant buck. And I go, where, you know? And like 400 yards up their hill is this buck, and you can just see him with your naked eye. I'm like, yeah, that's
yeah.
a giant. And so I throw my binos up, and sure enough, dude, I'm like, that's him, you know, getting pumped
no
and amped that we found him. And so,
yeah,
crazy enough, he, threw the razor neutral, and we just coasted back down the hill in reverse, and we're flying down the hill, and he said, get out. And so I get out, and I kind of assess the situation, and I had stalked him in this particular area a couple days prior, the Friday before. And so I had watched and kind of seen exactly what he'd do. So I was like, he's going to do the exact same thing of when I stalked him. So I stalked him from the left side of the hill, and he was down in the ravine, and then he went up and over the right side of the ravine in the saddle. And so I go, I need to loop around and get in that saddle and have somebody kind of distract him on the other ridge and kind of just like be up there, and he's going to see him and maybe bump up over to me. And so that's kind of what we were thinking. I was like, this is the only thing that I can think of that would work. And so I snuck up on the top of the ridge and got in position, and I could shoot 50 yards. I could shoot 50 yards uphill, and I could shoot, I think it was 60 or 70 yards below me. And
okay.
So I'm sitting there, and my dad's like, hey, yeah, just get right there. And just kind of wait, and we'll see what he does. And so this buck is down in this, you know, oak brush feeding on the acorns. And my buddy's up on the ridge opposite of me, and he's just kind of walking around, dinking around, sneaking around. it was actually pretty funny watching him walk around. But
yeah.
I'm just sitting there, you know, on pins and needles, like this deer could come right to me in my lap. And so I'm sitting there, you know, ready, arrow knocked, release on, ready to shoot. And my dad goes, oh, he's coming up the hill. He's coming up the hill. And so I'm like, all right, sweet. Let's go for it. You know, he's like, he's 40 yards below you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so like no jitters yet. I haven't seen him. And all of a sudden he's like, wait. And the buck walked backwards, turned around and went right back down the hill in the opposite direction of me. Like he has a sixth sense. He knew something wasn't right, and he looped below the hill around me, below me. And I'm like, what the heck? He's like, he's going low. So my dad gets in the razor, starts driving up the hill. He's probably 400 yards away, and I kind of like side-hilled down maybe 20 yards, and I get into a position where I'm just scanning. And I can just see tines coming through the oak brush. And he's 70 yards down below me. And I go, holy cow, like, there he is. And the gig is up, you know. And another time I get to watch this deer walk away. And it kind of frustrated me. I was like, are you kidding me, this deer? And, you know, he stopped in this opening. And he looks back at the razor on the hill. And I range him, and he's 100 yards. And I go, holy cow. I go, holy cow, I'm going to shoot 100 yards. Because I was just frustrated. And I mean, instincts just kicked in, man. I see him at 100 yards. I'm like, all right, that's broadside. I range him. That's him. You know, I dial my sight to 100, and I draw back. And all of a sudden, he moves. He's the jitterous buck. So he moves. And I'm like,
no
oh,
way.
I'm like, oh, my heck, this buck. And so then he goes through the oak brush, kind of goes up this ravine, and I get my rangefinder on him, and I range, and I go, are you serious? I range him, I go, you're not going to shoot that, are you? And in my mind, my first thought was, you can do this. And, like, I dedicate that to, like, just practice, man. Like, I've shot the heck out of this bow, like, just before the season, you know, like, I just love to shoot. I love to, you know, shoot with friends and like friendly competitions and stuff like that and tack and
right.
You know, I'm confident out to like those far distances, and I live on a farm here with my, you know, my dad and everything, and we have half ton hay bales, and so I shoot at those all the time. Like those are great archery targets. And I know that after 100 yards with my setup, my arrow will drop 3 feet every 10 or so yards. And so I can shoot, like, with my poundage and everything and my arrow setup, like, I have a 120-yard mark on my bow. And so I can dial to that and shoot accurately out to 120 yards at my house. And so I know that I can look at these hay bales, and the hay bales are 3 feet, you know, in length or in diameter. And if I shoot at the crack, I'll hit my target at 130 if I'm dialed to 120. And so I have to go two hay bales for 140, and I have to go three hay bales for 150. And I you know, just mess around with some Luminox and at night and shoot far distances and stuff. And your form has to be perfect. And I've shot a bow forever. And so anyways, in my mind, my first instinct is just go for it. Just shoot at him, you know, like you can do this, you know that you can do it. And so I range him and I go to draw, and he moves again, this dumb deer. He moves again and he comes up on this rock ledge just to the left. I'm like, okay, he couldn't have got farther. And so I go, he goes up on this rock ledge and he's kind of up a bit. And I'm like, just go for it. So I'm dialed to 100 yards, and I grab my black gold sight, and I crank on that thing, and it's locked, and I strip the rail. So my wheel is just spinning, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm sitting there trying to press my sight down just manually with my hand, and it's not moving. And it had switched to, like, I think it was 110. I had a mark at 110 on my sight tape, and it was about in line with that, maybe a little bit more. And so I got it level with that, and I was like, it's now or never. He's going to get out of here. And so I drew back, and I imagined 3.5 hay bales. And I just go, there's 1, 2. I got level on him. Everything was good. And I just raised 3.5 hay bales. And then I was like, crap, I got to get my left and right. I've got my height, but I've got to get my left and right. So I come off the peep, and I'm looking, and I can see a green bush that is directly above his vitals. And it's about the same height I want to be. It's just that, you know, it was perfect, dude. Like, it was, I don't know. So anyways, I lock in, dude. I zone in on this spot, you know? And
yeah.
Anyways, I zone in on this bush, and I do not remember actively releasing. The bow just went off.
And, that's the way to do it.
Oh my gosh. And dude, I can't even tell you. That arrow came from the moon. Holy crap.
It's like slow motion, I'm sure.
Slow motion across the canyon. My Luminoc is just lit, you know, like it's all in seconds, but it's slow motion. And
yeah.
I had enough time, you know, to get off my bow and the release and everything, and I just see this Luminoc, and I'm just watching it, and I'm like, drop, 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 and it's dropping, dropping. And it sounded like somebody took a baseball bat and just smoked a watermelon, just took a half.
Really?
And him, dude. It smoked him, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, let alone you just shot one of the furthest shots you've ever taken at an animal, and two, you hit him. You hit him good. And so I get on my binos immediately, and I get on the radio with my dad. I'm like, dude, I hit him. He's like, yeah, I know. I just watched it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, holy cow, you know, like in shock. And the buck just takes off like on a death run, and he runs straight up the hill. And so I kind of hit him. I hit him a little bit back, and he was kind of quartering away, but it hit in like in the paunch or stomach area. And then it,
hey, sorry, I dropped off. So I kind of missed
did?
It. Yeah,
no,
sorry.
You're good.
I kind of dropped off right where you said it smoked him.
Oh, okay. So anyways, I said it smoked him, you know, and it I go, dude, I just hit him on the radio. And he goes, yeah, I know, I just watched, you know, like, I just saw, because he was watching with his binos, and he's like, are you kidding me? And so I'm like, keep your eyes on him, watch him, and he ran probably 100 yards up the hill and turned and took a hard right turn, like a classic, like, Wyoming antelope circle kind of turn, and he comes and turns. I'm just praying, dude, I'm waiting for him to just crash, and I'm in shock. And I look up, and I see him, and he walks over by this bush and just beds down. And I'm like, dude, he's hurt. He's done. Like, I just hit him good. And I could see blood on his left side. I could see blood on his right side. And it was angled enough quartering that it came out, like, right in mid ribs, but low. You know, right behind that shoulder, maybe 4 inches. But it came in on his left, you know, left side of his belly and up and through. And so anyway, I am in shock, and I'm not proud to say it, but I literally sat down and I just started crying. I started crying because it was just an answer to a prayer. Like, it was so cool. And just having so many people help me, and, like, I really do think God had a huge help. Like, I get emotional about it, but it's pretty cool. But anyways, I couldn't believe it. And so he's sitting there bedded, and he's kind of just nodding off and stuff. And so I was like, we sat there and waited for, I think it was 30 minutes. And I was like, dude, I feel bad. I should probably go get another arrow in him. And in the meantime, I ranged my Luminoc in the rocks. And I can't tell you how far I shot, because people will get so weird about that. Just an absolute bomb. And I was like, oh, I don't know. It was so cool, man. It was just an experience that I'll never, ever forget. And so he's bedded down the hill, and I'm watching him, and I try to sneak in on him, and he kind of bumps, and I'm trying to shoot at him when he's running, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And so he kind of went down below me, maybe 80, 90 yards, and he walked in some oak brush, and I just watched him re-bed. And so, you know, the classic, leave him overnight. You know, after you shoot a deer in the stomach, you should leave him overnight. And so we leave him overnight, and I literally didn't sleep at all. And, yeah, long story short, we get in there in the morning and had some buddies help us, and we kind of just circled the whole area. And I'm walking where I saw him last, and there's just really good blood. Like, I just followed blood, and like paint, like somebody was just throwing paint. And I come up over this little lip, and lo and behold, he's just laying there. And no, I mean, what? stiffer than a board. Like, he had been dead for a while. And
yeah,
so yeah, dude, just it all came together. I mean, all of the hard work, all of the anxiety, all of the people that were trying to kill this buck, and you know, like, I just felt so grateful for the help I had. And like, I really do just like, I always say, like, it wasn't me. I just had the opportunity to pull the trigger, but everyone that helped me, like, that was so cool, you know.
That is so cool to have, like, your dad there and so many of your buddies and friends, like, kind of share that experience with you. And like, for it to be that buck too, like, I think one thing that I kind of picked up on that you said is just like, it seems like there's a lot of times you could have gone and hunted like even like 180 plus inch deer and been a lot easier, especially like after people saying this is the smartest deer on the mountain and him not holding still for more than an hour or so. Like, I think it's cool that you stuck with it. I don't think a lot of people could have or would have done that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the unit has I kid you not, the average deer I saw was probably a 175 to a 185 inch deer. And I mean, I would be tickled pink, you know, especially with the luck of getting the turnback tag. And you know, archery's not easy. It's freaking hard. I mean, you've got to be on your A game. You've got to have the fitness level. You've got to be, you know, mentally prepared to hunt with a bow. And I don't know. It was just the coolest thing that I set a goal and I stuck to it, and I just kept going, kept grinding. And eventually, you know, you're going to get lucky. And that's what I keep saying. I named him Lucky because he was lucky to be alive. The deer was a dead deer walking, because I picked him up, and the first thing I looked at was his back and on his neck, and there's an arrow cut. They're not blood, but like, the hair is cut visibly. And so
yeah,
it's so cool to see that it all kind of just came full circle. And I don't know, I'm just so blessed. Like, I don't think
it's almost gonna cooler be very, that it It's almost yeah, cooler that, like, you didn't kill him opening morning, that, like, when you had that 60-yard shot. Like, just to kind of have that story. I mean, like, probably in the moment, you're like, oh, I wish. But, like, now that you actually have him and have those memories and that story, like, that's pretty incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have learned as much, for sure. Like, you know, opening morning, first light, this buck comes walking through a saddle and you absolutely smoke him. Like, that hunting's easy at that point. Like, all you got to do is just be right there and do it, you know. And I don't know, I think that it means 10 times more now because of the sacrifice and just, you know, time away from my sweet baby and my wife and time away from friends and just work. And, you know, it's a lot of sacrifice to hunt. And,
right.
you know, the time and money and gas and fuel and just people coming to help me and taking time off work. And I just, it's just so cool that it all ended up, you know, in the happy ending. And I've had a lot of hunts that come out, you know, like, you know, my brother, he always says that you got skunked. And he's like, skunked again, you know. But he's autistic. But anyways, he kind of gives me crap when I shoot. You know, like back in the day when I'd shoot, you know, little deer, he's like, I want some trash. I want some stickers, man. Like, come on. I'm like, dude, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. And so he was so happy to see this buck. And it was so cool, man. Like, I just was blessed. And, oh, man. I don't think I'll ever have, I don't know. I hopefully can turn up another buck that's similar. But, dude, I don't know. He's going to be a hard one to beat.
Yeah, that's a pretty special deer. Did you, like, ever put a tape to him or anything?
Yeah, so my dad scored him, and he scored a bunch of bucks, but he scored him, and I just kind of wrote down numbers, and, dude, it surprised me. Because previously, during preseason, like, I was like, oh, he's probably high 190s. Hopefully he's 200 on the hunt. But with the moisture, I seriously think it was the moisture and just he was eating like a pig every day I saw him. But I think he had, I have pictures and videos of him, but he was at a pretty far distance. But I think he put on a few more inches and a lot more mass. But that's what kicks him over is he's got, I think there's seven scoreable eye guards, two matching inlines on his G4s, and then he's got on his G2, he's got inline there too. So he's got, you know, three extras that are all over 6 inches, and then he's got one's 8, and the other one's 6, and the other one's like 5 and a little bit or something. And then, I mean, dude, his mass is unreal. That's the one thing I noticed last week on I think it was Saturday, yeah. Saturday or Sunday, we were so close to him that I had a chance to even, you know, just look. And that's all I could think of is just like a Coke can or a Pepsi can just for up the beam, you know. Like, that's a 7-inch on his H1, and it's just nuts, dude. Like, and then there's like little stickers and stuff that I could count. But it's not, I couldn't hang a ring on it, so I'm not going to count it. But we got him at 219 and 3/8. So, I mean.
That is so cool. And
just shocked
me, man. I was looking through your Instagram, and, like, your field pictures are sweet. But then, like, that one picture in the garage with your your kid and your wife, like, that kind of shows you, like, you can see the mass really good there. Like, you can see how big that deer actually is.
Oh, yeah, like. I mean, a lot of people you see on social media, like, they'll tip the nose down, you know, and keep the arm straight. And I was just like, I don't even care. Like, just take pics, you know. Like, I had him with my left arm and had him, you know, just right there. And, I mean, yeah, he is giant. I mean, when you come in, if you see him in person, you're like, wow, holy cow, that's a big buck.
Yeah, that is so cool. But I think that's, like, the coolest, too. Like, I love seeing deer that you're almost like, oh man, I didn't realize he was that big, instead of like the opposite where you're like, oh, he looks huge in the film photos and
ground
you don't even recognize him sometimes. But
no, yeah, when I walked up on him, it was like, holy cow, you know, like pulling him out of the bushes, I'm like, what did I just do? I just got lucky. I got lucky. That's all I could say. I got him, you know.
Exactly.
Oh. So, super cool experience, and I'll have him on the wall, and I mean, I made some promises to God that I would do some stuff, and I'll look at that deer on the wall, and I'll just remember that,
yeah.
That he helped me out, so.
That is so cool.
I love mule deer. I'm addicted. If not now, I will be now.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your work cut out for you. That's going to be a hard
yeah,
top, but I'm sure with with that dedication, you're bound to do it someday.
Oh yeah, hopefully. I mean, we'll see. Well, super perfect. Cool.
I really appreciate you hopping on. I know you're probably busy. That deer hasn't been dead too long, so.
No, yeah, he's sitting in the freezer waiting for my uncle to get him taxidermied up.
So. Sweet.
Hey, guys, thanks again for listening. It means a whole lot. I hope this kind of motivated you guys that haven't killed or have hunts coming up to get out and kill a dirty giant of your own. Hopefully I can do the same, too. It's been kind of a tough season, but people have been putting down some awesome bucks. So hopefully we can get some more people on and hear some more stories and learn some more stuff. If you guys wouldn't mind sharing the podcast with any of your friends to kind of grow it a little bit, that would be awesome. Again, I appreciate you guys for listening, and we'll have another episode soon.